I'm going to ask you to for some prayers. There's been, my family's been in a terrible spiritual warfare for quite some time, for longest I've ever known, for months, I guess. And I've been able through the years to plead the blood of Christ and to get peace and rest from that, but there's something about this trip or something about something that God's fixing to do that the devil's fighting hard against, and it'll wear you out. And it's put a strain on my family, and it's put a strain on me, and I think God's wanting to cut a bee tree in Haiti this time, Pastor. I really do. And I believe we're running out of time. And I believe he's trying to hinder every way he can. So I asked you, if you will, please pray that when we get to Haiti, that we'll do the will of God, and that we'll stick to what God says and has, and that God will bless the people there. So, and pray for us tonight as we preach. You say, you look sad. I'm not sad, but I've been in a battle today with him for a while trying to get into this message tonight. So, if you will, I do desire your prayers, and I appreciate it oh so much. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the 40th Psalm. 40th Psalm. And we'll bounce around that a little bit with the Lord's will and see what God will bring to us. The 40th Psalm. And I'm going to read some of it, and then we'll pray, and then we'll try to break it down a little bit. 40th Psalm. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, now watch this, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. It will declare and speak of them, they were more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, and thou knowest. And let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege to stand one more time. God, I ask for a protective hedge about this place tonight. I do plead that precious, holy, righteous, sweet blood of your Son over every heart, or every mind, over every problem, over every care. God, I ask that you have freedom here tonight to speak to your people. God, I submit myself to thee. God, I realize, as always, I do not know how to preach without you. And now, God, I ask you once again to clothe me in that calling. God, you speak, and just use me, my Father, as a mouthpiece. I ask that when this service is over, God, that you have been glorified and your people be helped. And we ask it in that precious name of your Son, and for his glory we ask it. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, I love to read in the book of Psalms. And if you pay close attention, as you read it, you'll find that life really hasn't changed. I mean, the things we have, the modern cars and things like that, but when you get right down to the nitty-gritty and you start to look into people's lives and you see what's going on, all these thousands of years, life really hasn't changed. You see, they went through periods of doubt. They went through periods of confusion. They went through periods of loss. They went through periods of loneliness and anger against others and against God. As a matter of fact, they even found themselves in places called Wits End Corner, where every way they looked, everywhere they turned, they didn't know what to do. And they were confused and fearful. And they were on the run, as if it were, from the power of the devil and didn't quite know how to get away from it. They chased dreams and they held them in their hands. And some of them they were able to hold, but most of them just slipped through their hands and they never saw those dreams. They, in those days, thought that life had dealt hard with them. They thought they'd been given a raw deal. They couldn't figure out why this person had this and this person was blessed there and this person didn't seem to have as many troubles as that person. And they cried out to God. But still, we're the same way today after all these years. They felt like at times in their lives that they were useless, insignificant, and wondered why in the world God still had them here. Amen?
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I take a trip there ever so often.
Yeah.
And you have to fight to get out of that place. You have to get your mind set on the right thing. You have to turn to the only place that you'll find peace and you'll find direction and you'll find strength, and that's in the Lord and the Word of God. Now, just like you and me, they seem to be jumping in and out of trouble, in and out of pits, in and out of miry clays, and every single time they climbed out of one, seemed like they got a few minutes of rest and right back into another.
Yeah.
Sound familiar?
Yes. Amen, Tom.
Life really hasn't changed, amen?
True.
You see, God is gracious in His Word that He doesn't hide anything from us. He's gracious in that He lets us see what they went through, that they were just like you and just like me, that all mankind basically is the same with the same troubles. And then He shows us why some stayed in those troubles longer than others, why some came out of them quicker, and showed them how to get out of those problems or stay from going into those problems. You find that in the Word of God because the Word of God doesn't hold anything back. God's got a message tonight to help you. If you're going through some trouble, you say, Brother Tom, you're preaching on troubles a lot here lately. Well, I've got quite a few. And as I look at God's people, I see that God's people got quite a few. And I believe the devil is using doubt and despair and troubles to bring God's people down in these last days, and we don't have much time left, and we better know how to handle the problems. Amen? Now, folks, let me ask you something. What do we call this right here? The B-I-B-L-E. And what is it?
Word God.
Say that one more time.
Word of God.
One more time.
Word God.
The Word of God. Now, words are important, aren't they? I mean, words can make you intelligent or they make you stupid. Words can encourage you or they drive you further down. Words can give you wisdom or they can make a fool out of you. And many times we look at and think about the words of some great man that's left this earth. We think, my, what wisdom. But they don't compare. They don't even come close to what we have here, which is the Word of God. This not only is the Word, this is the last Word, this is the perfect world, this is the preserved Word, and this Word will give you victory. But you got to pay attention to the Word. You know, I grew up in a time when I think we were country, but we were analytical, Pastor. We didn't just let people shoot words at us and take it and go around running around with it and saying that's so. We thought upon what a word meant. We dug into it. We searched it, and we found the true meaning of it. And once we got saved, we saw how that word was used in a biblical perspective. But it seems like people's quit wanting to think. I guess the TVs have dumbed them down. And ignorant politicians have told them so many words that weren't true that they don't even try to think about the words anymore. Well, when I begin to read the Scripture to find what God says, I go look up words. Words are important. Words have meaning. And if you take how one word is and tie it to another word that's running with it, before you know what's really being said. And you'll always find it in the Word of God. Now God gives us preserved words to teach us how to be wise, how to learn, how to prosper, and how to bring glory to His name. And that's why we're here, amen?
Yeah.
We're here to bring glory to the name of God. Now let's take a minute, if you will. I'm going to kind of preach a little bit tonight, if that's all right with you. And break down just a few words from the Scripture we just read and see what it says. Verse number one. In the King James Bible, I don't know about yours, but in my King James Bible, most of the time a sentence starts with a word that's in italics. It's got a capital letter in front of it. But in my Bible, which is an old one and I love it, It's falling apart, but I wouldn't take anything for it. It says I, capital, and then it has the word waited. Now in my Bible, it's all capital letters. Now I don't know if that's just for Brother Tom to know what's going on and pay attention to the word waited, but in mine it says I waited patiently for the Lord. Now I want you to pay close attention to that. If God points to a word, and God sets your sight on that word, and God sets your mind on that word, and God sets your heart to dig into that word, then we need to pay attention to the word. You agree?
Amen.
That one word, waited, is put that way in the Bible, I believe, to get your attention, because that one word is going to teach you what this whole Scripture has to say to help you in your life. Now, he said, I waited on the Lord. That's something people don't have anymore, is patience.
That's right.
They don't want to wait on anything.
No.
Why, if they have to get in the line and somebody's getting two Big Macs and they only want one, they get angry because they have to wait.
That's right.
They don't want to wait to become successful to what God wants them to do because they want it given to them. They don't want to wait for absolute anything. But King David said, I waited.
Yeah.
How'd he wait? How'd King David wait?
Yeah.
What?
Patiently.
Now you're going to get a blessing from this, I hope. It sure did me. He said, I waited patiently on the word. I waited until God chose the time, until God gave me the move. I trusted even though I couldn't understand it, even though I wanted it to end, even though I wanted it for myself, even though I had to have it, I waited patiently on the word. Now there's two words going together. Wait and patiently. To wait means you trust. To wait means you let all the information, everything come in from the Lord, and then you patiently wait until He speaks to you.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what that'll do for you if you'll wait patiently
That's right.
on the Word of God while you're reading it. He'll fill you with things you never saw before because you didn't take the time to wait patiently and seek Him. He says, and what was the result of waiting on the Lord instead of running around? Waiting patiently on Him instead of complaining and hollering and crying and getting angry. What was the next thing? What was the benefit of paying attention to those first two words? He said, He inclined unto me. In other words, when all the fussing calmed down and all the distrust began to sift away, when He was sure that you could hear Him, because your mouth wasn't moving, your ears were being used, what does it say He did? He inclined unto me. Boy, Janelle, I love from the Lord. Inclined to me means He bent a little lower, not that He needed to, and He paid special attention. Why? Because He waited patiently upon the Lord, and the Lord let Him fuss it all out. He let Him cry and whine and moan and groan. Yep. He let Him line up all the wrongs He thought God had done and all the things He ought to have because He's a child of God. And then when He quit talking, God began to listen. And you watch, there's going to be a lesson in this. It's a progressive thing. And He heard my cry. Hallelujah. I've been in places I didn't like. I've been in places where I fussed and I carried on like a spoiled brat before God Almighty, who, by the way, owes me absolutely nothing. He gives it to me because He loves me. I'm glad He don't give me what I owe, what I truly am owed. I'd be burning in hell right now with no hope. Well, watch what He says. I waited patiently. I quit running my mouth and complaining. And then God said, He's listening. And He leaned down. He said, now I listen. I heard it before, but I was having to filter through all the mess that you're throwing up with it so that you can hear it. Verse 2 says, because of how David waited patiently, he did what next? Now watch this progressive thing from just waiting patiently on the Lord. What did He say? He brought me also up out of a what? Horrible pit. Now I hope you don't mind me teaching, but this is how God gave it to me. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. What's a pit? What do you think of when you think of a pit? I think of a deep hole with steep sides, and there's no way I'm coming out there on my own. Huh? Made no way out of here. It's too high, it's too steep, and I don't have a ladder yet to get me out of there. And then watch what else goes on here. It's amazing what God showed me here. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. You know what He said was in the bottom of that horrible pit? Miry clay. What does that remind you of, Pastor Brother Tom? I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Quicksand. Yep. I used to love Westerns. Every time somebody got in quicksand, they was in trouble. The more they struggled, the more they tried, the more they fought, the more they complained, everything that they tried, it sunk them deeper and deeper, and the pit got higher and higher on the walls. Ain't that where a lot of us are right now? Yeah. Devil's got you down in the pit. And he's not having to do any work to make it worse. You're trying every way you can to struggle and fight and get out of it. And you just keep getting deeper and deeper and the ground up getting higher and higher. He said, Brother Tom, you go and preach. I am. If you listen, it'll help you. Watch what happens next. And it's progression. Just steadily progression. Pay attention to words. When I waited patiently for the Lord, and I quit complaining and listened to the Lord, He leaned down and inclined His ear to me. And He heard my cry then, because it was coming from where it needed to be, right here in the heart, right? Now watch what happens. He brought me up. There's your ladder. Want out of the pit?
Yes.
Be quiet. Wait patiently.
Yes.
And God will lend his ear. He'll lean down and listen to you and hear you cry. And he'll bring you up out of that miry pit. That quicksand that you're in, sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking and getting deeper and deeper and deeper and more fessered up and more fessered up. You know what he does next? Watch what happens. This is just a simple progressive teaching. And he set my foot upon a rock.
Man.
Quicksand, there's no standing on quicksand. But now, if you can get your foot on a solid rock,
yeah.
You know what starts to happen?
Right.
You start to get on solid ground. Now you're moving out of this pit. You are.
Amen.
What is that solid rock? The Word of God.
Yes.
Who is the Word of God?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Who owns everything, does everything, knows everything, can accomplish everything as you could hope or desire. God.
Amen.
Now watch this. This is just progressive. I couldn't believe it. I was headed for the pit, being wore out. God said, wait a minute, let's just take a look at this. I said, thank you, Lord. I've been on this for weeks. I guess I had to hush up a little bit so I could get the rest of it. He set him upon a rock, and watch what goes on next. This is all benefit upon waiting patiently upon the Lord. Okay? What did he do? He established my goings.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're that wits end corner down in the pit, right? You're sinking in quicksand, going nowhere but deeper. And God, because you waited patiently and listened to him, heard you, lifted you, set you on the solid rock, and now he's going to give you direction.
Amen. Amen.
The lack of direction is what got you in the pit to begin with.
Yeah. Right.
Not paying attention to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. It might take me a few minutes tonight. But it is, I'll be gone for 3 or 4 weeks and you won't have to listen to me anymore. Amen. Now this is just so simple, but I missed it for so long. Now watch how it progresses again. It's just progression. It's just a steady, steady, steady movement.
Yes.
And we're going to get out of the pit of despair and we're going to get on the mountaintop. Shout for us though. Watch this. Verse number 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's important where he put the new song in your mouth.
Yeah.
When you're complaining and when you're telling God what you deserve and how God's not giving you what you think he ought to and how you feel like he's done a dirty deed to you, when you're doing all that, that don't sound sweet, does it?
No.
But when you start waiting patiently on the Lord in trust,
yes.
He begins to move.
Yeah.
You know what he does? He gets rid of all that complaining.
Yes, he does.
He puts a new song in your mouth. God loves a new song in the heart of his children. It's called praise.
Yes.
Now watch this. Watch this. You know what happened? He went from crying and moaning and complaining to praising God. We were created to praise God. We were created to have fellowship with him. We were created for his joy. God desires one thing in this world. Trust in your heart. Your praise. Your love. Now watch this thing. Watch it go. Maybe it's a simple, I hope I'm teaching it right. You know what happened next? People that had been watching him while he was in the miry clay. With the walls getting higher and higher. They watched how David was behaving. But when they saw David, hush, wait patiently, in trust, God lifted him up out of there. He changed what was coming out of his mouth. You know what they heard? They heard a new song.
Yes, it is.
Now, let me tell you what this does to people that's watched you go through trouble. And if you don't think people watch you when you have trouble on your face and trouble in your life, you've got your head buried in the ground.
Amen.
They saw the change in David. And it all started with the word, I waited with a little patiently slung in.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Brother Keith, they saw that. And if you read your Bible, you'll find out that brought fear to him. They thought, if his God can bring him from the depth that he was in the misery that he was in the place that he was in, and put a song in his mouth, and joy in his heart, and praise in his lips, they said, I'm going to take notice of that. You didn't know how. You're watching more than the TV, and you just don't know it. Y'all. Pastor, let's be honest. You get up here and preach, you can see faces pretty good. For some reason, I can't see nothing during the daytime. I get up to preach, and all of a sudden, everything starts coming in faces. It's like my brain's a computer going, and it starts to sort through all those faces. But because he finally quit talking, quit complaining, quit moaning and groaning, quit telling God what he deserved and what he wanted, and just started listening, all this thing begins to progress slowly but surely. They learned that they could trust God. You ever wonder why you don't have any impact on people that are lost? They don't see that you can trust God. If one of God's children can't trust God, how can somebody that's not one of his children trust God? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you say, you're starting to meddle. No, I'm fixing to preach.
Amen.
Verse number 4, now watch the progression from whining, crying, and moaning, groaning, complaining, digging yourself deeper and deeper in the hole, and the pit getting higher. The walls can't get out of it because of these first two things, waiting patiently. It said, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his what?
Trust. Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah.
You know what that means? No matter what the situation, whether you understand it, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you ever come out of it or you never come out of it until he comes and gets you, you have trust in the Word of God, what he said, what he promised, how it would be, and you had total faith in his character as a good God. Not only a good God, but a great God. Let me go a little bit further. The only true God. That's where you put your trust. That's where you start to come out of the mess. That's how you're coming out of the pit. That's where you found a solid rock to stand on. That's where you got a new song in your mouth. That's where you begin to praise God. And that's where the lost crowd saw that they could trust him. You ever think you'd find that much in 3 or 4 verses? And I ain't fully got through it yet. I don't think I'll ever dig plumb through it.
That's right. Amen.
Now watch this progression. Many, O Lord. What do you call him right there? Many, O Lord. My God. My God.
Yes.
In the pit, out of the pit.
Yes.
My God. With what I think I deserve, without what I think I deserve, my God, oh Lord, Master. Say, Tom, do you have to holler? Yeah, I do. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I can't stop it.
Right.
Say, blessed is the man who maketh the Lord his trust. You know what they do right there? You know what's going on right here? Satan has quit listening to the lies. I mean, David has quit listening to the lies of Satan. You know what? Satan had got a stronghold into the mind of David. Some of you tonight have a stronghold, and the devil owns that position in your life.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get out of the pit unless he's got it.
Right.
He quit listening to the lies of Satan because he trusted in his Lord, and Satan lost his stronghold.
That's right.
My goodness, do you realize who we are and what time period we're in? We're the children of God during the dispensation of grace,
yeah.
Right at the brink of the moment and time that he calls his bride out of here,
yeah.
And we leave the troubles, no more pits, no more miry clay,
no
more wondering what we got coming to us. We'll see it and live it, not just for a day. Oh, no, 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 no. Forevermore.
Ooh.
I'm waiting on that. I wish there was an eject button up here. I'm homesick, folks. I ain't seen it with my eye, but I felt it in my heart. And I'm homesick. You know why God pointed out about this stronghold? He wants to tear it down in your life. Your heart, your feelings, your joy, your life, your body, your soul belongs to God. He purchased it. And I don't think I want the devil having anything that belongs to God. Amen? Not in my life. But the only way you'll put down this stronghold, Brother Barry, is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Whether it makes sense or not. Verse number 8, let's just jump right there and see what he says. I'm enjoying teaching. Watch what happened. Now, he's been in the pit. He's been complaining. Been digging around down in there like an old hog rooting around, just getting deeper and bigger mess.
Right.
Walls are getting steeper.
Yeah.
Starts to listen patiently, waiting on God. God begins to hear because he quit talking so much. Reaches down, provides the ladder, sets him on a rock, establishes going, puts a new song in his mouth, and prays in his heart.
Yeah.
And then, watch this. Watch this. It's unbelievable. He says, now, instead of complaining, watch what he says. I delight to do thy will. In other words, it's a joy to do your will. Well, what happened to just a few minutes ago? Life was terrible. I was miserable, David said. I mean, I didn't know how I was going to get out of here. Well, I had some complaining in my heart. If I could talk to God, I'd sure straighten him out. That's a foolish thought. You'll do nothing if he forgets your next breath but go to sleep. You know what happened? You know what happened? They begin to trust on the Lord. Satan's stronghold would come down. And you know what? It became a joy to be in the situation, whatever it was he's saying, because it was the will of God.
Yeah.
How many people like problems? Y'all like them?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Can't wait for your car to tear up, and then another car to tear up, and then a hot water heater tear up, and have to do plumbing, somebody get sick. Nobody likes that. But if it's the will of God, you can learn to.
That's right.
You know what I do when I really start thinking? You know, why am I going through this? I found a secret. Can I tell it to you? Every morning, when I open my eyes, the first thing I say is, I love you, Father.
Yeah.
Now, you go start your day telling God you love him. You're not going to stay mad very long. You know what the last thing is I do before, and I'm not bringing attention to me, but it'll help you. I lay my head down on my pillow, and I look up, and I say, I love you, Father.
Yeah.
I find peace that way in my heart, even in the middle of trouble.
Yeah.
Folks, words are important in this book. They're very important. God's not looking for your sacrifice.
No.
And God's not looking for you to suffer for him.
Yeah.
God is looking for you to trust Him.
That's right.
And to love Him.
Yes.
Now, I didn't have the great family relationships a lot of people have. I'm glad they do. But once I got a Heavenly Father,
yeah.
I got a good one.
Yeah.
I got the best one.
Amen.
I got one that loved me unconditionally. That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
It means a whole lot to me. Now watch what happens. Verse 8. There's a transition. David says, I come before you in what? What does it say? In your word. This is what he's saying. I'm coming to you in and through and by your word.
Yes. Yes.
Why is this quiet? Does everybody believe in shouting? Why aren't you shouting?
Amen.
You can holler. I don't have to be the only one to holler. I'm hollering because I'm excited.
Amen.
Now watch this. Let's jump down to verse 16. Now listen to this. So watch this transition again. Let all those that seek thee what? He said, do what? All those that seek thee. David's got it figured out now. Let them rejoice. Didn't say like what you're in. Don't like what's going on. But you can rejoice because He is your Heavenly Father and you can trust Him. Now watch this. And be glad in thee. You can be glad in God no matter where you are. I'm returning back to a country that is overrun with false religion and Satan worship. But there's people there that have nothing compared to you and I. They rejoice in the Lord. We're spoiled brats sometimes, aren't we? We're spoiled. Watch this. Let such as what? Love thy salvation. Do you love your salvation? I do. I'll never have enough money to buy it, and I'm sure I'm not going to be good enough to earn it. I can work my whole lifetime trying to get there and I'll go to hell. But I sure do love His salvation. I like what Brother Keith taught on this morning. You can't do it. You can't work your way there. Works always says do, 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 and then do some more after you've done. But grace, salvation through God says, done. That sounds a whole lot easier than the do, 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 do. And then when you thank God there, do some more. I'm thankful for salvation. I love His salvation. The Lord be magnified. You'll never magnify the Lord more than when you're in the middle of a mess. You can't do it anymore because that means you trust in Him totally. Not my will. I believe we learned something from Jesus, didn't we? Not my will, but thine be done. Now watch here. Now He's getting right to where I mean He's fixing to get the full blessing. Fixing to get the full blessing. Watch what He says, I am poor and needy. You know what that's just basically coming up and fessing up to? Let me put that in modern day language. I'm a no good mess, Lord. And I sure do need You. That's just being honest, right? I ain't seeing no halos floating around your heads up here. The good part of you is inside, that new man God put there. He says, I am poor and needy. I'm a mess, Lord. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Most people that see you as a mess don't think positive on you. In fact, they try to get you off their mind. But God, even though you're a mess, even though you try to get down into the pit and work your way out of it, even though you allow the devil to get a stronghold in your heart and your life, even though you don't trust him, his thoughts are always on you.
Right.
Wow. Whew. I wish I could run. My knees would give out, but maybe God will glorify him one of these days, and I'll take out a few doors and put them back. Wow, think his thoughts are on you, as big a mess as you truly are. Now, one, some of you look and say, you're a big mess, Brother Tom. So are you. And he sees us when nobody else is able to see the mess, and he knows what the mess really is. And yet his thoughts and his love and his desires are on us.
Amen. Thank God.
I'll never get over the fact that he's prepared a place for me.
Yeah.
You're in a mess? Let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, his children. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, your heavenly Father, who loves you and thinks about you every second of the day. Do you ever think about that? So we can be with him.
Amen.
Now you might not feel special. That's pretty special.
Indeed. Indeed.
Whew.
Amen.
Pastor, have you ever seen me getting over salvation? Will you take a two before and whack me right in the head? Please. Anybody that sees it, please help me. And he said, Brother Tom, what's all this about? About your and my problems, just like the problems in the Old Testament, just like the problems from the time beginning with man, and what a difference God makes when you wait patiently and turn it over to God.
Yes.
And accept it until he changes it. Or accept it until he calls you home, and then he'll change it. I believe the Lord wants to cut a bee tree not only in Haiti. I believe he'd cut one in here if you'd let him.
Amen. Right.
Do you know what happens when a bee tree gets cut? Now, I heard that one time when I was a lost man. I said, now, what's the big deal about a bee tree? Well, you go out there and cut a bee tree down, watch what happens. A lot of action and movement starts going on.
Yes.
A lot of excitement starts to happen.
Yes.
The bees... Now that the bee tree's cut, they get just a little bit worked up.
Indeed.
And it's time for God's people to get worked up, don't you think?
Indeed.
I'm going to pray with you and turn it over to the pastor. You're blessed.
Amen.
You have the best father you could ever have.
Right. Amen, Father.
And you're not going to be here too much longer.
Amen.
Let's finish the thing, amen? Trust in him. And let's get the devil out of the strongholds. And let God be God. Amen? All right. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. And I thank you for this chance we've had to preach your word. Thank you, Lord. I'm too ignorant, Lord, to teach anything without you. I thank you for that privilege. Now, God, I ask that you enter into the hearts and the soul and the mind and the very being of every person here. And God, help us to drive the devil out, and help us, my Father, to have praise and a new song on our lips. And God, come out of this world when you call us with a shout, not our heads hung down. we're children of God, and we thank you for that. We love you, Lord, and we trust you, and we give my thanks to you and their thanks to you, and everybody that's saved should give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm done.